2 Corinthians chapter number 2, the text that many of you be familiar with, and have been granted permission. Really, we sort of tossed which way to go, and we're going to try to go both, deal with the problem of corruption in many foreign language Bibles, and then some report on this on the Spanish Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17, the Apostle Paul is having the Holy Spirit have him put these words down. We are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. The corruption of the Scriptures did not begin with Ken Taylor's Living Bible, nor with Westcott and Hort back in the 1800s. The corruption had started well before Origen and the School of Alexandria. It was already in operation in the Apostle Paul's day before the Bible was fully given. If you look in the text, there were corrupted copies of some parts of the Bible before the last books of the Scripture were even written in the original autographs. So much for the argument of the most ancient manuscripts. There were corrupted ones older than some of the ones when they were first written. This dual line of corrupt and genuine had already occurred when 2 Corinthians was being written. There were already many in the corruption camp, according to this verse. This perverting had been in existence since at least the time of Jeremiah, a period of 600 to 700 years. I'd have you turn to the book of Jeremiah chapter 23. There are some verses there I'd like to point out because they have a lot to bear with what I have to say. Jeremiah chapter 23, you could perhaps trace the beginning of the corruption back to Satan's questioning of God's word with Eve. But as far as man's perversion, you'll find that it's found taught as something already practiced in the Old Testament. In Jeremiah chapter 23, we have, for those of you that are preachers and like to alliterate and have three-point outlines, there's a three-point outline here. I'll just quickly toss it out as extra. But in verse 22, you have what happens if somebody preaches the words of God. In verse 30, you have what happens if they steal or purloin the words of God. And then in verse 36, you have about those who pervert the words of God. Now, there are a lot of people who don't want to preach them. They're afraid to pervert them, so they end up stealing them. And I'd like you to look at verses 29 and 30, for that's what I want to focus in on. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? There's a power in the naked word of God. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Here, the corruptors are accused by God of stealing. Stealing not the thoughts, but the words from their neighbors. These thieves were not the atheists, but rather the prophets or the preachers of that day. Brethren, this problem continues even today. Religious thieves are still corrupting and stealing the words of God from us and our neighbors. Notice it mentions neighbors there in the text. The corruption and stealing of God-given words in our modern English Bible translations has been exposed, is being exposed, and by the grace of God will continue to be exposed. The corruption and stealing of the inspired words of God from the Hebrew and Greek has been exposed, is being exposed, and by the grace of God will continue to be exposed. The corruption and stealing of God's words from our neighbors in the Bibles, in their languages, must, by the grace of God, be exposed. It's time to raise the cry of thief. Thief! The Dean Bergen Society Executive Committee approved a statement on Bible preservation in literature item 1389 on July 29 of 1982, which states on page 5, item 2F, quote, God intended that His Word be translated accurately in all languages. Without question, God intended that His Word be translated accurately into all languages to fulfill the Great Commission to preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16:15, end quote. To our neighbor who does not speak or read English, an accurate Bible in his language is as essential as an accurate English Bible is to us. We must learn to love our neighbors as ourselves. I am not a scholar, but I am a pastor, and I honor that God-given office. As a pastor, I am greatly concerned over this issue and many things that I'm hearing. For example, in John 1:29, we have contained the beloved text, "Behold the Lamb of God." In an Eskimo translation of the Scriptures, this is changed to, "Behold the baby seal of God." An Ireland translation makes it, "Behold the chicken of God." And one of the Micronesian languages has it translated, "Behold the pig of God." I think the word thief may be a little on the mild side. A Finnish translation of the Scriptures is reported to have translated the word baptize as sprinkle. The best German translation seems to have left out 1 John 5:7 and changed the word repent to do better. The do better also carries with it the Roman Catholic concept of paying or doing penance. The best French Bible at times refers to Jesus in the feminine in John chapter 1. The best Spanish Bible has Job's wife saying in Job chapter 2, "Bless God and die." A tribal Bible of either Indonesia or New Guinea changed the word snow to cotton. A tribal Bible of Mexico used the name of a bird for the name of God. The Carajá Indians of Brazil were presented with a so-called Bible by Wycliffe, and the local missionary has yet to figure out whether it was patterned after the Living Bible or Good News for Modern Man. One thing he knows, it is less than the actual words God gave. The Hmong of Thailand had a Bible translated for them by the American Bible Society after the pattern of Good News for Modern Man. By the way, it's the only Bible translated for this group of people. A veteran missionary, upon returning to the field, asked how the other missionaries could have done what they did to the Word of God. They responded that it was the only way to get funding, and they'd been advised not to discuss the translation process with the home churches. This friend of mine examined that version to see about revising the text, but said it would be easier to start all over. Now in his 70s, he has translated the Gospel of John and is working to give this people the pure Word of God. When looking at Bibles in other languages, it's not unusual to find words, phrases, and entire verses missing, stolen from the people. In some places, words are added. In others, they exchange words and put in their words for God's words. Occasionally, they footnote a section and question its inspiration. How are nationals going to build and maintain Bible-based and Bible-believing churches on such Bibles? How is the new convert to grow without a trustworthy Bible? As a pastor, I am not only deeply concerned, but I am alarmed. I began asking questions of other pastors and missionaries. Generally, there's an ignorance of the problem. I'm afraid that I've only scratched the surface myself. My own ignorance keeps me from seeing the magnitude of the problem. Occasionally, I find language prejudice shown by those that believe God only wanted His inspired word in English, and other languages don't need it pure. Sometimes it's a racial prejudice. White people are gifted by God with a pure English Bible. But those who may be red, yellow, black, or brown don't need the best. Do all whites speak English? Do all others not speak English? Of course, prejudice doesn't have to make sense. Some have reputations to protect and vested interests to defend. Sometimes there seems to be deceit and cover-up, and that by self-proclaimed fundamentalists. This matter is too serious for unconcern and laziness to continue. Our neighbors have had God's words stolen from them by these modern-day prophets. We cannot allow a double standard. One rule for English Bibles and another for other language Bibles. Even as recently as 1988, 6,170 languages, only 582, or 9%, were thought to have an adequate Bible. A further 1,167, or 19%, had an adequate New Testament. Keep in mind that the word adequate in no way means accurate. Thus, less than 30% of all languages have an adequate, though likely inaccurate, New Testament. The remaining 70% don't have that much. This past year, I've worked some toward a revision of the Spanish Bible. Spanish is spoken by perhaps 200 million people, of whom only some 15% live in Spain. Not until 1793 was a complete Bible in Spanish printed on Spanish soil. That was a 10-volume set translated from the Latin Vulgate by a Roman Catholic. Before this time, there were some who lived outside Spain who struggled to produce Spanish Bibles and send them into Catholic Spain. Martyrdom was the penalty each faced who dared bring Bibles to the Spanish people. Some died in this work. The first New Testament was translated in 1543 by Francisco de Enzinas. Charles V was at that time emperor of the Low Countries and most of the rest of Europe, including his native Spain. Desirous of having the patronage of Charles, Enzinas dedicated the book to him and removed from it whatever he thought might offend. Somehow, he did not remove enough. He ended up going to jail and having his New Testament suppressed by imperial order. Few copies survive today. A second attempt was made 13 years later in 1556 by Juan Perez de Pineda. His copies were smuggled into Spain, but most were discovered and destroyed. The next attempt was made 13 years later in 1569 by Casiodoro de Reina, who translated a whole Bible. This version is the basis for the most accurate versions of our day. It was revised by Cipriano de Valera in 1602 and called the Reina-Valera version. This was revised again in 1861, 1865, 1909, 1960, and 1977. This version and its revisions stand out in accuracy compared to what we can tell of nearly 25 other translations in Spanish. Working under the Global Bible Society of Asheville, North Carolina, we've been gathering together a group of workers to produce an improved version of the Spanish Bible, to purify it where it does not agree with the Hebrew Masoretic text and the Greek received text. At present, we have several scholars in the Greek and Hebrew languages, a number of veteran Spanish-speaking missionaries, several experienced English to Spanish translators, as well as Hispanics in the U.S. and Canada. Also offering help are nationals who pastor, teach in Bible schools, and or work in local churches. These should assist us in achieving our goal of working with a number of helpers from a variety of Spanish-speaking countries. These people offer a multitude of skills with which to assist us. Further, we felt that it would be the safest to keep our work open to the inspection of the public and thus hear their criticisms early rather than late. While this will likely take longer and increase the workload, it was felt that the goal of purity would more likely be reached this way than by doing the work in secret. By the way, that's about how all the other translations are being done. You see them when they're done. You don't know what's happening during the process. At present, we are running behind our projected schedule, but we are making good progress. We are gathering lists of problem passages, wrong translations, missing words, etc. One man is going through Scrivener's New Testament in Greek with marked variations, word by word, and comparing it with the Spanish Bible and the King James Version to locate any influence of the Westcott Court text. Another is using a computer to cross-check Spanish to English and English to Spanish programs of the Bible. Some are noting problems they run into in their reading, studying, and preaching from the Spanish Bible. As we receive these observations, we will organize and send them out for examination of the workers and any interested parties. We hope to soon launch several other methods of getting at potential problems, such as one reading the Spanish Bible while another checks the Greek, one reading the King James Version while another checks the Spanish, etc. Last summer and fall, we made a serious examination of the various Spanish versions to select the text most accurate overall for revision. We came to the conclusion that the Reina Valera revision of 1909 was the best available. The 1960 revision was seemingly second best, better some places and not so good in others. We have sought to stir God's people to pray for this project. Its success or failure will be determined by our effectiveness in prayer. The wisdom of scholars, the labors of the workers, and the brilliance of organization can never replace the need for God's power and blessing on this effort. And we desperately ask for your prayers. Since we've started down this road, we have been surprised at the interest as shown by the letters we've received. Others have felt the need for a revision. Several church publishers are interested in our progress and the possibilities of printing the revision. One of the revisers of the 1977 revision has offered to help as needed. Two others were about to start a revision of their own and are in contact with us, one being Mrs. Walker from Spanish Publications and the other being the Trinitarian Bible Society. I'm to meet with Mr. Rowland of the Trinitarian Bible Society in London 11 days from today. We will not only be discussing the Spanish revision, but also the status of accuracy of other foreign language Bibles. He's been most gracious, both on the phone and in correspondence. One of the problems we've faced is that of turning critics into helpers. Some seem most free with their complaining about problems in the Spanish Bible, but back off when it comes to listing the problems and doing something about them. Brethren, our Hispanic neighbors around us and to the south need help. God's words have been stolen from them. Both William Carey and William Tyndale operated on the principle, translate the scriptures, and then revise, revise, revise. They felt that this was the best way to get the pure words of God into the hands of the people. Surely, we can learn from their experience. On the largest scale of the world's languages, we are engaged in a great conflict. Living Bible International plans to soon complete the putting of their perversion into the 100 languages that will reach 90% of the world's population. The International Bible Society is doing massive translation work of the NIV into multitudes of languages. The Lutheran Bible translators figure it takes 15 years from start to finish on a New Testament translation. The World Catholic Federation for the Biblical Apostolic are collaborating with the United Bible Societies in some 170 ecumenical translation projects. The United Bible Societies with its affiliates, including the American Bible Society, are working on multitudes of other translations patterned after Good News for Modern Man. You can add to this the questionable quality of much of Wycliffe's work and that of many others who are now compromising. Today, we must face this modern-day stealing of God's words, everyone from his neighbor. That was the cry in Jeremiah. A wicked missionary in Indonesia finds that the only Bible in the language of those to whom he ministers is less than pure. What should he do? A missionary to Japan with 30 years of experience works on a revision of the Japanese Bible to bring it in line with the received text. In the months following the publishing of the improved Gospel of Mark, he notices there are far more and sounder converts than he had seen at any previous time in his ministry in Japan. This problem of inaccurate Bible translations is a greater hindrance to both missionaries and nationals than most pastors and church members at home will ever realize. Should a less than pure Bible be used? Or should they do without what is available? The missionary has his English King James Bible. But what should he recommend to the non-English speaking national? Perhaps the best advice I can offer as a pastor is to find the best version in a given language. Circulate the best, use the best, examine the best, and when possible, revise those versions that need improving. Never has the church had more money, more time, and more presses available. We cannot roll back the clock. But we can write some history if we'll seize this opportunity to get God's words to our neighbors. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Psalm 68:11.